I'm going to introduce him in a minute, but they are going to be here today and tomorrow for our Freedom Seminar. We're going to be talking more about the Freedom Seminar during the announcements. It is still not too late if you want to sign up for the seminar. And so, but before we get to that, let's just have a word of prayer really quickly before we get to our guest speaker. Lord, we just thank you, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Lord, you have brought us here, Jew and Gentile alike, one community, Lord God, in Messiah Yeshua. And I just thank you, Lord God, for everything you're doing in this community and the greater Savannah area, Lord. I pray that you would bless our guest speaker as he blesses us today. Give him your words, Lord God, and may they come straight from your heart to our hearts today. We thank you and praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Well, today we have the pleasure of having the Browers here, Ira and Gloria. They come to us, I guess you guys are still based in South Florida, right? Okay, they're based in South Florida, and they were the Rabbi and Rebbetzin for many years of Etz Chaim, which is a congregation in Boca Raton, Florida. What's that? Okay. Boca Raton, Florida. I thought I saw somebody's hand up in the back. And we are pleased to have them here. They go around now and do these seminars for hope, healing, and freedom. But he's going to just deliver us a special word from the Lord today. So without further ado, Rabbi Ira, come on up.
You can start. No, you're going to use that. You're going to use that.
Use it real quick.
Yeah.
Okay. I can do it. I'm good. I got a big voice. Good morning. Thank you. Shabbat shalom. My name is Gloria Brower. And again, we're in Boca Raton, Florida. And we thank you all for inviting us up today and tomorrow. We're going to have a really good time tomorrow. Ira and I have a workshop we call Hope, Healing, and Freedom. And it's going to be fun and exciting. You're going to get a workbook. You're going to be able to participate with us as we go through this. We'll be sharing some life with you that we've gone through and what the Lord has been doing in our hearts and in our lives. We live in South Florida. We have 5 children. We have 3 that are married and 2 that aren't. We have 6 grandchildren and 1 on the way. So have had a busy life. We turned over the congregation to a younger couple in 2014, and we have been doing this ministry full-time since then. And the Lord's opened opportunities for us to go to many Messianic congregations and churches, and also to Israel. We've been to Israel the last couple of years, and we're praying for God to give us Russian speakers, Hebrew speakers, Arab speakers, and Amharic speakers from Ethiopia, so that we can train them to do this style of ministry. It's called Restoring the Foundations, and we work in 4 areas that we'll be going through tomorrow with you. One of them is called Sins of the Fathers and Resulting Curses, which means we all come from families that have a lot of junk in them. They have a lot of good things, too, but there's a lot of things, too, that we don't want to be in agreement with, so we work on that. The second area is called Ungodly Beliefs, and these are lies that we believe about God, about ourselves, and about other people. And for us, we were very surprised that we believed lies until we realized what those lies were. And then we come out of agreement with the enemy on those. And God gives us truth that we can walk in and walk in his presence and in his spirit. The third area is called soul-spirit hurts. And these are wounds that we carry on the inside. If I broke my arm, you can ask me how I broke my arm. But you don't see all the broken arms that I carry on the inside or we carry on the inside that we don't want anybody to know about. So we work real hard on the outside to cover those up. But we come out of agreement with the enemy. And guess what? He gives us some healing. And he gives us freedom. And the last area is called demonic oppression because we believe the enemy can oppress us. He cannot possess us, but he oppresses us. And when we're in agreement with him, he has the right to do that because he knows the legalities of his position, right? And so anyway, that's what we're going to work on tomorrow when we do the workshop. It's going to be a lot of, I'm not going to say a lot, of, it's going to be fun. And it's going to be, having God come in and do some healing to each one of us as we open ourselves up to him. So I hope I haven't scared any of you off with that. So we look forward to seeing hopefully all of you there tomorrow. And thank you again for letting us be here to worship with you on this awesome and precious Shabbat.
Put it down or turn it off? Just put it down here.
Okay. Yeah.
Turn it off. Yeah. Good. Man, Shabbat Shalom. It is really a joy to be here with you. And again, as Gloria said, thank you for inviting us, Rabbi Jude and Jennifer. And so, as Gloria mentioned, we come from South Florida. A little bit more about us. So, I'm a New York Jew, and she's a Mississippi redneck. And we met and married in Colorado. So, I guess maybe she's a little more at home here than I am. I don't know. But no, I'm just kidding. We're at home. Wherever the Lord's presence is, we're at home, and we're with brothers and sisters. Amen. And so I just want to share with you a little bit this morning from this week's Torah portion, the Parsha. Okay? And the Parsha this morning is actually double portion. And the part that I want to kind of zero in on is in the book of Numbers, chapter 33 and verse 50. And the context here is, as you might know, the children of Israel, B'nai Yisrael, are now at a place where they're getting ready to enter into the promised land. Right? They've gone through 40 years of wandering in the desert. That's where we get the term the wandering Jew, right? And some of us have also done a lot of wandering in our lives as well. And so at this point, there's a little bit of review of where the journey has been up to now and the instructions for the children of Israel for when they enter into the land. And this is about our inheritance, their inheritance, our inheritance, and taking possession of the land. That's what the message is about. Because it's such an important message, not only as we review the history of our people, the people of Israel, but also as it affects our lives as well. Understanding our purpose, our inheritance, our destiny, our identity as well. So just kind of going to unpack a little bit of that. But let's start with this section in chapter 33, starting in verse 50, if you have your Bibles in that, or just listen. verse 50, Adonai spoke to Moses along the Jordan in the plains of Moab across from Jericho, saying, so if you know the geography at all, they're on the east side of the Jordan, right? They haven't entered into the land yet, but they're in the plains of Moab, which would be modern-day Jordan, right? And he says this, speak to B'nai Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, you must drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you. You must destroy all their idols and cast images and demolish their high places. You will take possession of the land. You will settle in it because I have given it to you to possess. Verse 54. You are to divide the land by lot according to your families. To the large, make their inheritance larger. To the small, make their inheritance smaller. Whatever comes out of the lot will be theirs. You are to distribute the inheritance according to your ancestral tribes. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, whoever you allow to remain will become to you barbs in your eyes and thorns in your sides. They will give you trouble in the land in which you will be living. Then what I have intended to do to them, I will do to you. So that's pretty intense. Instructions. If you don't follow what I tell you to receive your inheritance, I'm going to do to you what I intended for you to do to them. Right? So I want to do a little word study in Hebrew. How many of you like Hebrew words? Okay. Any of you studied Hebrew? Somewhat? A little bit? Okay. So there's some interesting words here. Just two words that I want to kind of unpack for you a little bit, that have to do with inheritance, that have to do with possession, okay? So, as you know, some things are lost in translation, right? But in the Hebrew, there's a word here in verse 52. where it's translated, you must drive out all the inhabitants. It's one word in the Hebrew, which is Vehi Hishtoreshtem. Hishtoreshtem. And you might know in Hebrew that verbs and nouns are connected because they typically come from the same root. So in this case, the word comes from the verb lareshet, lareshet, to possess. But if you do a deeper study on that word, from which lehistoreshtem, I actually can say the words, but I'm kind of stumbling over them right now. Lehistoreshtem, you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land, right? Drive them out. But then the same word is in verse 53, lehistoreshtem. Well, wait a second, does it mean drive them out? Or does it mean you will take possession of the land? Which is it? The answer is yes. It's both. So if you do a deeper study on that word, lehishtarash, it means to dispossess that which is there and to take possession of that land, of that place, right? So it means both. It means to root out the inhabitants and to take possession of it. And the word for the inheritance in that connotation is morasha. Okay, so you see the connection. It all comes from the same root, la reshet, reshin tav, if you know the Hebrew letters. So that's the root. La reshet is the infinitive to inherit or to take possession. And hitarashtem is the action. Dispossess and take. Okay, so that's what God is saying. And then the other word that's important is in verse 54, you are to divide the land by lot according to your families. Now in the Hebrew, all that is one word. And that word is v'hit nachaltem. Hit nachaltem. Can you say that? Hit nachaltem. Okay, and that also comes from a root, a different root than moreshet or lareshet. That word comes from another word, lenachal, lenachal. And the noun is nachala. And that word also means inheritance. Okay, are you getting it? So there's two words for inheritance, morasha and nachala. One, morasha, comes from the verb to dispossess and take, which is rightfully yours. And the other word, nachala, comes lenachal, which just means to receive that which is yours, receive the inheritance. So in 54, you are divide the land by lot according to your fathers, to the large make their inheritance larger. The word there is nachala. Whatever comes out of the lot will be theirs. You are to distribute the nachala according to your ancestral tribes. So for Israel, the two words, what it means is they had to fight to possess that which was theirs so that they could receive that which was theirs, their nachala. Is that making any sense at all? Getting the idea? And the reason that is important is because God had already promised them that land. That already was their inheritance, right? God, when did God promise that land? To whom? Come on. Abraham and to? Right. So he had already promised that land. It was already theirs, but they had not yet possessed it. So they had the Nachala, but they hadn't yet had the Morasha, that which they had to fight for to possess. Right? In our land, in our lives, we also have a Nachala. We have a promise. We have that inheritance of salvation, that which God promised that we would receive. But we also have to fight for it and possess all the rights that come alongside of it.
And as we follow the story of the children of Israel, right, that land was theirs, but we read throughout the book of Joshua, they had to fight for it, and they had to possess it, one enemy at a time, one enemy at a time. And for us, oftentimes in our lives, we have to fight to receive all that God has promised us, one enemy at a time. Also in this parsha, it goes through the previous chapter, all the steps or all the places on their journey that they had to go through. And I think there were some like 42 stops in 40 years. How many of you had some stops along the way in your journey? I know we have. And of course, you know, the older you are, the more stops you've had along the way in your journey, in our journey. And it's good at times to look back, as Moses did, where we've come from, the journey that we've been on. I had this really reinforced to me just recently this week, and in this way. So I had a friend, really close friend, back in my early days of journey, back in my 20s. Those were the days when I wasn't walking with the Lord, before I was walking with the Lord. And I had a previous career, and that career was in the industry of pharmaceuticals. In other words, I was a drug dealer. Okay, in Colorado. And back in those days, it wasn't legal. Today it is, right? So I was a pioneer. Yay. So I had a friend who was a partner in crime with me, literally. And we actually got busted together, spent the night in jail together, went through a trial for distribution of drugs together, and God was already working in my life. Of course, he was far away from my radar, you know, but I was on his radar. So I was acquitted in that trial, but my buddy, his name is Kelly, he was convicted. Not that he was any more guilty than I was. I just circumstances. I won't go into details. He got probation. And the judge said, because he had a military record, in fact, he had, I don't know, some of you my age or my generation, if you remember, during the anti-Vietnam protest, there was a huge march on Washington, specifically against the Pentagon. And they called out the National Guard to defend the Pentagon. And so my friend Kelly was actually in the National Guard and defended the Pentagon. And so the judge said, because of your military record and your stable family background, I'm not going to send you to prison. I'm going to give you probation. So fast forward about 40 years. And by the way, after that, we kind of stayed in touch somewhat. A few years after that, I came to faith. And how many of you have had the experience where you come to faith, and for some reason you have this idea that you can't hang out with your ungodly friends anymore? And so we surrounded ourselves, you know, with believers, and over the years lost contact with this friend named Kelly. So it had been, he was at our wedding in 1982, and I think that was the last time I saw him. So fast forward to about a week or so ago, and Gloria's watching Ken Burns' series on Vietnam. Right? And I happened to walk through the living room she was watching, and there was the episode that had the event of the defending the Pentagon by the National Guard. And it reminded me of my friend Kelly. And I thought, I wonder how Kelly is doing. So, of course, how do you find anyone these days if you want to look for them? You know, you get out your phone and you, you know, go to Facebook and put in their name. So his name is Kelly Cook. Well, wouldn't you know, there's about 50 Kelly Cooks on Facebook. And I thought, and I looked, and I couldn't find anything that looked close to him. So I thought, all right, well, whatever. Wouldn't you know it, a couple of days later, I get a message on Facebook Messenger from guess who? Kelly Cook. And I went, what? And he said, hey, are you the Ira that lived in Estes Park, Colorado, back then? And we were friends. And of course, I knew that it was the Lord, right? And I wrote him back. And of course, you know, it's a lot easier for him to find Ira Brower on Facebook than it is for me to find Kelly Cook, right? So, long story short, I don't know how short it is. But anyway, so we messaged and he said, hey, call me, let's talk. And I said, yeah, let's do it. So the other night I called him, right? We hadn't spoken in 36, almost 40 years. And so we're reviewing each other's lives. We're reviewing our journey. So as I was preparing for this morning, I thought, wow, isn't God good? So I got to share with him. Now, he's not a believer, not Jewish, not a believer. Now, he knew I was Jewish, but of course didn't know I'd become a believer, Messianic rabbi. You know, all of the years of our journey, I got to share with him. And he's going, wow, and about our kids and all the stops along the way. And he's sharing with me about his journey along the way, about he had a very successful career in banking and so forth. And I began to think, wow, you know, he was successful in business and all that, and God took me this journey. Isn't it interesting? And God began to show me, hey, that was his journey. I had you on your journey to take you to where you are this day at this time to do what you're doing. And that really spoke to me. And as I was preparing, I thought, you know what? This is an encouragement for us too. Because along that journey, for all of us, I mean, each of us has a journey. Some of us have lived longer. We have a longer journey of 40 years maybe or more, right? And along the way, there were challenges in our lives. We've had lots of challenges, whether it was before faith or even as believers sometimes, even as believers, we have more challenges, right? But if we follow that cloud, as the children of Israel did, right? We come into our inheritance. We come into that place, and sometimes we have to fight for it. Sometimes we have to dispossess those enemies, right? What are those enemies? I don't know what they are for you, but I know what they were for me. A lot of shame because of my background. My parents were divorced. We were in an Orthodox synagogue. I was going to an Orthodox yeshiva back in the 60s. My parents got divorced. There was a lot of shame that I lived with that. Didn't realize how that affected my journey for many years. A lot of guilt. A lot of embarrassment. A lot of internal anger and fear that I lived with. Those are enemies that we live with, that we have to dispossess from our land in order that we can fully walk in that inheritance that God has for us. So we have the Nachalah, we have the promises, we have those things that God has given us, but we also have to fight for the marasha, that inheritance that we have to fight for. You know, years ago, about 15 years ago, I was sitting with a couple of colleagues and in the Messianic movement, and we were talking about the need for raising up young people, raising up the next generation in the Messianic movement. And one of my friends, was actually a Hebrew Torah scholar of sorts, and he started talking about, this is where I first heard this concept of Morasha and Nachalah. And he said, well, we need to teach these young people how they have to fight and work, not for their salvation. That's the Nachalah. That's just the gift that we receive. But the Morasha, the thing that they have to fight for, to dispossess the place of the enemy in their lives so they can walk in the full inheritance and the destiny that God has formed. And we birthed something that we call Bet Mereshet. Bet Mereshet. And what we did then is we started pouring out and pouring into young people, not just in our congregation, but throughout the Messianic movement. And one of the stars that we had in our one of the programs that we had were the worship leaders that you had here, Toby and Brooke Manolis. And we got very close to them. But we had them when they were not married yet. They were just in their courting stage. And they were some of our stars that we had. But we had lots of other young people from the Messianic movement, from congregations from all over. And God really did something really special in that. And as we transitioned, because as God laid it on our hearts to raise up the next generation in our congregation, we raised up a couple that had been with us. They were part of this vision that we had for the future, raising up young people and having them come into their Marasha as well. And then we went off and started, not started, we continued with Beit Mereshet, but we used the English Heritage House. And so Marasha, another word for that is heritage as well. And we began this, we got trained in this ministry called Restoring the Foundations, which we're going to, of course, talk about tomorrow. How many of you come to the seminar tomorrow? Okay, those of you that aren't, want to encourage you. It's like Rabbi Jude said, it's not too late to come and be with us. And we'll share more about our journey and how God has taken us into that place. And brought us out of that some of the ways the enemy has worked in our lives. But you know, when we come into faith, when we come into that into the kingdom of God, there's certain promises that we have, right? The Apostle Peter talked about the inheritance that we have, treasures that's laid up for us in heaven. But I believe that heaven is here and now. Heaven is not just something that we get to go to, you know, when we pass from this earth. Heaven starts now. The kingdom of God, Yeshua said, is here and now. The kingdom of God is among us, right? And so we have the ability to receive, to fight for that inheritance right now. And it doesn't have to be this struggle every day. No, because God has already given us the victory. God has already given us the victory over the enemy, over the tactics and the ploys of the enemy that keeps us bound up. But you know, our walk with God, our journey with God is just that. It's a journey. And wherever we are in that journey, there's still more to go, right? We never totally arrive at that place and just sit back and rest, right? But along that way, along that journey, we have the promises of God. We have the promise that Yeshua gave us that we would have an abundant life. And we find that a lot of believers are not living that abundant life. That abundant life that Yeshua promised us, right? He said, I have come to give you life and give it more abundantly. In that same context, he said, but the enemy comes to do what? Right, kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. One of the translations that I love in that phrase, have it more abundantly, is over the top. To have an over the top life. And a lot of times as believers, we don't experience that over the top life that God promised to us. Are you connecting with that? That we struggle, yes. Life can be a struggle. I know that. We know that. But yet our blessing, our ability that God has given us, that anointing that God has given us, is to live above our circumstances, right? And to recognize that we have that inheritance. Remember, the children of Israel, this generation, they're the ones that grew up in the wilderness. The ones that didn't believe God, they perished. They didn't make it to this point. Because when Joshua and Caleb came back, along with the other 10, you remember that story, right? The 10 said, oh, listen, there's giants. They're bigger than us. They're going to defeat us. We're not going to be able to do this. Joshua and Caleb said, listen, guys, they are giants. They are bigger than us. But are we going to believe what we see with our eyes? Are we going to believe our circumstances? Or are we going to believe the promises of God? And sometimes in our lives, we get caught up in our circumstances. We get caught up in the situations that look not so good. But we need that reminder, that we need that reinforcement that says, hey, guys, God is bigger than our circumstances. God is bigger than that bad report that maybe we got from the doctor. God is bigger than our children that are, we don't know where they are. Or God is bigger than that pink slip I just got at work. Amen? God is bigger than all those circumstances. It's great to praise God when things are going well. Oh, God is so good. You know, I just got a promotion. You know, I just got a new house. And you know, my kids are loving God and things are going really well. And we believe that that is what God has for us. But life isn't always that way, is it? There's things that happen. But how we live in those circumstances, how we live when all we see are those giants, how we live when we don't have, the comforts surrounding us, are we still able to say, God is good. God is great. I have that. The abundant life. I have that inheritance. I have an inheritance for me laid up in heaven. I have a destiny in the kingdom of God that is here and now that I can walk in it. That I am free because of God's mercy. Because of God's mercy. You know, we sang a song this morning. I am unashamed because of His mercy. Right? And that phrase stuck in my head. Because, you know, the children of Israel, when they came, we know the story, right? They came into the land. They took the land. But yet, what happened? They didn't walk in it. They didn't walk in it. They didn't heed the warnings that God said, if you don't destroy those things, right, of the nations around you and the nations that are in the land, I will do to you what you were to do to them. And he did, right? It ended in exile twice. Because of rebellion, because of idolatry, and he plucked them out of the land. And he said that you will be a reproach amongst the nations that I scatter you to. But then in Isaiah 61, when he talks about the restoration, he says, I will take away your shame and restore you to the land, and you will have the double inheritance. Right? You will have the Nachalah. That's right. That's the promise that he has for Israel, and that's the promise that he has for us. See, the inheritance and the destiny and the identity of Israel was as God's firstborn son. He said that back in Exodus, by the way, chapter 4. And he said it again in Hosea. Out of Israel I called my, out of Egypt I called my son. God's identity for Israel was that they were to be his son. And his purpose for Israel was as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So that all the nations of the earth and the land is part of that inheritance and part of that destiny. Why? Why is that land so special? Why is that land so important? Anyone know? Because God promised it, that's first and foremost. But if you've been to Israel, if you look on the map, that tiny little country is where three continents come together. Africa, Asia, Europe, and all the merchant caravans would pass from one to the other. It was a center of commerce. It was a center. And when God said to Abraham, go to that land, and all those that bless you will be blessed, and those that curse you will be cursed. Why was that land so important? Because it was the center of commerce. It was the center of movement and activity. And God promised that land to Israel because it fit with the promise of their destiny and their calling to be a light to the nations. And when Israel was to walk in that calling and walk in that destiny, the purposes of God, not only for Israel, but for the nations, were to be fulfilled. But when he scattered them, and he said, you're going to be a byword, you're going to be a reproach among the nation, they entered into a shame-based identity. And for 2,000 years, we have walked in that identity. We have walked in that identity. But he said, I'm restoring you back to the land. And the times that we've been to Israel in the last few years, we've been to many times in the past. But as God has opened doors for us to spend time doing ministry, restoration, that's our ministry, restoring the foundation, restoration. It's not just restoring people back physically to the land, because he promised, right? I will bring you back from all the nations to which I scattered you, and I will restore you back to that inheritance, back to the promise. There's no restoration apart from Yeshua, right? And there's no restoration apart from understanding the purposes for which God called them. But I've noticed that there's something different about Israelis and Jews that are outside the land. There's a certain confidence, even as unbelievers. Now, we call that the Sabra mentality, you know, they're kind of that arrogance. But it's a foretaste, I would say, of walking in the true identity of who God called Israel to be. And we see that with Israel, you know, with the technology and the medical and first in disasters and all those things starting to really come, fulfilling what God promised. But we as individuals, Jews and Gentiles, in the body of Messiah, can be who God called us to be. We are all of the firstborn. Israel is the firstborn, but God said all of us, Jews and Gentiles now, are the assembly of the firstborn. And we also are of restoration. We also are of the double inheritance, the double portion that God has for us. And wherever you are in your journey, I want to encourage you this morning that whatever you've come out of, whatever wilderness you've come out of or you're in right now, not to lose sight of that inheritance, of who God has called us to be, has called you to be, as his son, as his daughter, with the fullness of the inheritance of freedom, of joy, of peace, of love, that God's love has been shed into our hearts so that we might be a source of blessing and life to others. Amen? Let's pray. Well, Abba, we thank you. Thank you so much, Lord, that you didn't leave us in the wilderness, but that you have brought us into the fullness of inheritance in your kingdom. And just like the children of Israel, that they had that Nachalah, but they also had a Morashah. And so too for us, we have that inheritance that is just given to us, but we also have that Morashah that we have to fight and dispossess our land, our lives, from any influence of the enemy, so that we might take full possession of that which you have for us. Help us to do that, Lord. And I pray for anyone here today that is stuck in that wilderness, in the wilderness of circumstances, I pray, God, that they would see, that you would touch them, that they would see that you love them, that you care for them, and that you have a glorious future right here and now, the abundant life that Yeshua promised. So if that's you, I just want to encourage you just to receive. Receive today what God has for you. Reject the lies of the enemy about the giants, about they will surely wipe me out, or I'm being destroyed. I have no hope. I have no future. Just reject those lies. Say, God, I ask your forgiveness for believing those lies. And I choose to accept and believe the truth about who you say I am. That I am your beloved son. That I am your beloved daughter. And that you love me. That I have a future and a hope in your kingdom, and that I walk in that hope in Yeshua's name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.